Are you struggling to advance your career and sacrificing time with your loved ones because of endless to-dos, low energy, and just not enough time in the day? If so, then this podcast is for you. I am your host, Dr. Ann Sung, an ER critical care and space doctor, a peak performance coach, real estate investor, and a mother of a toddler. I'm here to guide you on mastering your mind and give you the essential skills to achieve peak performance. So welcome to Productivity MD, where you can learn to master your time and achieve the five freedoms in life. Hello, welcome to Productivity MD podcast. I have here Dr. Mike Wu Ming. So he is a physician, primary care physician, who has retired from corporate medicine. And currently, he's a physician entrepreneur who started his own cash-based practice. And he is a coach for physicians, a business coach for physicians at Limitless MD. The reason why I brought him on today, because he has a special superpower of very intentional networking in different situations. So that, you know, we talk about productivity, so you can take action and be productive no matter what type of venture you're going into in terms of real estate or in terms of like other types of businesses. So we're going to have different scenarios of different events and then figure out the strategies for you and how to network. So first, I would like to have Dr. Wu Ming to talk about how he actually got to where he is now. How did you retire from your corporate medicine and now you're a business coach for physicians? So like, why do you do what you do currently?
Well, first of all, Anne, thanks for being here. Please call me Mike. Again, I'm a big productivity nut. So anytime you have to deal with productivity or become more efficient, I'm like, I'm there and I want to learn more about it. So my story is that I'm a family medicine trained, although I haven't done family medicine in quite a while. Went to Mayo Clinic for my training. And I'm in Southern California boy, went to the Midwest and came back in. And I joined a group practice in family medicine. And although I love medicine, I didn't love other aspects of medicine that we probably don't have to go after. But, you know, just with working with EMR, declining reimbursements, more and more work with, unfortunately, not enough money to come with the amount of work that I was being done. But what really affected me was the birth of my second son. He was found to have autism, and I wanted to spend more time with my sons. And unfortunately, it wasn't really in the cards for me to do that and full time and to take call in and all that. So I looked for other streams of income. For me, it was business, entrepreneurship, started a consulting company, which led into a software company. And that allowed me to actually retire from medicine for several years. Since then, I went back into medicine because, like I said, I always loved it, but I wanted to see if I could practice medicine my own way. And that started with Executive Medical, which is my cash-based medical practices. We have three locations, focuses on weight loss, hormone therapy, aesthetics, and we've got over 20 employees right now. And it's been a fun ride, and I just enjoy entrepreneurship. And to answer your question of why I got into business coach, I've always been loved teaching, as most doctors do. I found that, especially for physicians, as you know, we get very little, if all, business training in medical school. And I just wanted my way of giving back and being in a position to help a doctor like where I was 20 plus years ago, saying that there is possibilities that you can have your own business. We can go beyond what that doctor myth that we're really bad in business. As long as we can apply things, become efficient, become more productive, we also can go into other disciplines that perhaps we were not as well educated on, which is business. And that's why I became a business coach and got together with Peter Kim and then with Vikram Raya and part of their mastermind, and I'm enjoying it every minute of it.
Yeah. I was actually coach at one of the Limitless conferences. Oh, by all three of you guys at the same time, which was awesome.
Yeah, hopefully we were gentle and not too mean, but it's all with tough love, right? And exposing your weaknesses to allow them to become strengths.
Oh, yeah. I loved it. It was exactly what I needed. Such a short time, so much knowledge. And this is one of the conferences we'll talk about too, in terms of networking. And I am wondering, you know, for the physicians to know why they should even care to learn about how to network intentionally and productively? Like, why does it matter? Or I guess maybe the other question is, what if you don't learn these specific networking skills? Then what are you wasting?
Yeah, that's a great point. I think for many doctors, right, when they go to conferences, we kind of know the same conferences that we go to. We go there because we have to go there. You know, it's part of our CMEs. So we're trying to get our CME credits, and or maybe we're trying to get certified in some type of aspect in our specialty, and we're required to go. Perhaps it's meetings such as going through hospital meetings and different conferences to expand that. And, you know, so that's what we're really not used to, networking. I mean, I know what I mean. When I used to go to CME conferences, I would go in there, get what I needed, and then go home as soon as I can, right? And not spending time. But especially in something like a discipline we're not very familiar with, which is entrepreneurship, you know, for many. Owning a business, running a business, growing a business, it can be very daunting, especially if you've never done it before. And what I like to say, entrepreneurship, it can be very lonely too. You know, you're starting something, maybe you're a coach and you want to do this on the side, and or maybe you're like myself, you want to start your own private practice. You need to have mentors, as you know, to get there where you're going. You yourself are a mentor for others, and to help them, yeah, perhaps they can learn it on its own, but we're only on this planet for a finite period of time. And if you want to get there quicker, as what most of us do, you want to be productive, more efficient, you hire mentors, you find people. And so when you go to other conferences, let's say, for example, you want to learn about real estate, you can go to a real estate conference. And I guess what the next question is, why network is, sure, you can go to the conference because you want to learn, maybe it'll force you to learn, you'll be in an enclosed space for a few days, and so you can learn it rather than reading a book on the side. But because you're an entrepreneur, you want to be surrounded by like-minded people. I think it really gets you going. I know for me, my path to becoming successful, relatively speaking, as an entrepreneur, is when I surrounded myself with like-minded people. Make sure that those people that were in the room maybe had different strengths than I did. I had some weaknesses, and I looked, maybe I'm networking to find strengths. Maybe I'm going to find someone who could be a partner for me. Maybe I'm going to find someone who maybe they have, you know, skills or knowledge that maybe I don't necessarily need, but maybe they know people that can help me as well. And that's why I think it's imperative, especially in entrepreneurship, to learn the skill of networking.
Yeah. And when sometimes physicians don't feel like they're an entrepreneur because they just work for hospital medicine. So I totally get that side. But the other side, there are a lot of physicians who own their own practice, and that is pure entrepreneurship. Or if you want to venture out to create your own syndication, if you want to do any sort of investment in real estate, that's entrepreneurship, med spas, or coaching, et cetera. So I think entrepreneurship is everywhere. If you want to get out of the daily grind of working, trading time for money, doing shifts in the hospital as a hospitalist and ER and ICU, then typically you look for other routes that's going to make you money without trading time. And a lot of times those other routes is entrepreneurship, right? And then so without learning those skills, without being intentional in terms of your networking and surrounding yourself with the right peers, it will be very hard for you to, I guess, get out of those golden handcuffs. Have you seen that with some of your clients?
Exactly. And it doesn't have to be like a pure like entrepreneurship conference. I go to specific aspects that perhaps could help me in my business, or it may not. For example, over the last year, I've been to 2 artificial intelligence conferences. I know that AI, as we know, it's coming. It's always in the news, what's going on. We've seen some applications on medicine, but we're still in its very early stages. And so for me, as a business owner, I want to learn more about it. I would rather be someone who acquires that knowledge rather than find out later on that maybe I might be replaced by AI. So I go to these conferences sometimes with not even a clear agenda in mind, just knowing I want to be in a room where I can learn more about it, but also see who else is in there. Maybe there's another physician that I can connect with or not. Maybe there's someone in another discipline, maybe in dentistry, maybe in veterinary, perhaps in health, and see what they're doing. And then I can say, maybe I, you know, for me, if I can just maybe take a couple of nuggets that could perhaps influence my business, maybe help me in the right decisions or help me to avoid the wrong decisions, then for me, it's ready to go that. And in fact, I know some doctors who've never gone to a conference and feels like, you know, I can learn everything on the internet or I can learn everything on YouTube. And certainly there's an argument to be meant by that. But there's so much information out there, right? Where do you even begin to start? Where do you begin? Where does it end? Is it the right information? And for me, for someone who can get on a plane or get in their car and then go to a conference and, you know, generally pay some money to go there, that's someone who's probably, you know, is ready to commit to learn more about whatever that is. And for me, I think it's prudent for me to be in that room to just maybe to learn and network and see what aspect in my life could I be improve by going to this conference.
Yeah. So we heard about the why, and the what is that potentially you will be able to buy your time back by paying for the, it could be conferences, it could be other types of events, but you'll get the same results. I often say you'll get the same results, but you'll pay either with your own time or you'll pay money. And going to these things, full immersion, you pay with money to buy more time back so that you can find the right mentors and the right peer group. So I do want to dig into a little bit of the strategy of the how. I know there's many different groups of intentions or of people. So let's take real estate, for example. So let's take maybe like an investor who wants to begin investing, who has never set up anything before, who has never built a network, has not reached out to agents or anything like that, just picked a market. You know, how would that person approach like a networking or how to even reach out or network either at an event or not, you know, the real estate investor event? Or is there a different strategy for that person for like one-on-one reach outs to people in their market?
Yeah. So let's say someone is going to getting involved in real estate. And, you know, let's say like I'm here in San Diego, right? So San Diego, California, probably one of the most expensive places, if not the most expensive place in the country. And for someone who wants to invest in real estate, you know, unless they've got some gigantic pockets, you have to shell out a lot of chunk of change to invest in property around here. Probably not for the most, you know, the average person is going to be able to afford it. So if I was beginning real estate, I'd want to know is, are there other people around here? Like, I know there's some people in real estate. I've got some friends who are realtors. What are they doing who are in this area? And there's a local real estate meetup, you know, meetup.com. You can go find any type of knowledge, discipline, anything you want to learn. You can probably find someone who has that, whether it be relationships or you're going hiking or you want to play pickleball or tennis, whatever. There's meetups that you can meet and talk about those kinds of things. Well, there's real estate meetups in every city and every community. That could be where you first start. Maybe you're going to find other people who are like in the same boat. Hey, I can't get involved in real estate. What do I need to do? And what you'll find out is that there will be people who are, you know, hopefully much more advanced than you are that are probably investing in real estate, probably outside of that community, outside of other areas in California, perhaps in Nevada, perhaps in Utah, et cetera. What are they doing? That might be somebody we would want to connect with. Maybe these are other people who maybe are in the same boat. Maybe they don't have a lot of money, but they're willing to meet others and maybe they can, you know, start a relationship with possibly going in and doing that. We could find out like what are the sites that they're using in terms of finding real estate. As you know, there are real estate properties that aren't always listed on Zillow. By the time they get on, they're already being taken. So how do they connect? Those happen all the time that it's not publicly available. So there's a lots of different ways that you can benefit by going to these. And for someone like myself, who's pretty introverted, it takes me out of my comfort zone to do it. But I know it's a necessary step for me to grow whatever I want to do, whether it's my business, my life, my career. Going into conferences and being prudent in what you choose, because you can't go to everything, is really important.
Is there a specific step or strategy that you use when you get there to those meetups?
Yeah. What I do is first I ask myself, or I should know, like, what is the purpose of me going? You know, why am I going to this conference? Is it to maybe learn? Maybe there's a speaker or someone that they're doing something that's really, really cool that I want to do. Maybe in this real estate conference, they're going to talk about buying land and I'm interested about land and I don't know how to do it. So maybe I'm going to meet there. Is it to meet with that speaker? Is it perhaps maybe it's someone that I have a speaker and maybe I like this person and feel this person has he or her has a lot of knowledge and perhaps they are doing coaching or maybe they're doing mentoring and seeing. So that could be one why. Maybe it's just because I want to know about real estate, and perhaps I'm feeling like I'm doing this by myself. Maybe my spouse doesn't understand, and maybe I need to be surrounded by other people interested in real estate, and I want to know what they're doing. And that could be an important point. So that's the first part, is like, why are you going? Are you going there for knowledge? Are you going there for networking? Maybe you're an advanced real estate person, and maybe you want to raise capital. That's another aspect. So whatever that is, that's really where you start. And then what I do is, you know, what's the one person that people want to talk about? It's themselves, right? So where I see a lot of problems is when you start networking and people just tell all about their story, the life, et cetera. I think we've learned as physicians, the most important skill that we have is listening to the patient. But you also got to listen to the person that you're with. If it's a good event, perhaps they have scheduled networking activities. You know, some of these events I've been to were like almost 10, 20,000 people. But usually, if they run their program correctly, they have certain areas where you can maybe network with certain people. So, for example, in a giant real estate conference, perhaps it's a beginning conference, and you have those people there. Maybe there's people who are just interested in multifamily, and maybe they have something right there. So going and being in these networking things, hopefully they have something that's kind of, structured, where it's maybe perhaps speed networking, where people are introducing each other. But perhaps it's as simple as just going to the bar and saying, hey, why are you here? That's usually where I start with, is like, hey, cool. Maybe you see something, and it almost sounds like dating. And I don't mean to get that's in a whole other realm that I probably don't want to go into. Definitely not an expert, but maybe you see something like perhaps a person wears a shirt that has you went to University of Indiana, and maybe they have got a Purdue shirt or something like that. Something where you have like some type of connection. Even if not, just usually those people want to network as well, and they're looking for some type of icebreaker and say, hey, really cool. I saw you at that session right there. What'd you get out of it? Or like, why are you here? And I just let them talk. And that's what we have to do. Use your skills of listening and to see why they're there. And for the most part, people are pretty open to it. And if they don't, they'll just walk away. That's okay too, because there's other people in there who are there just to network. So the first step is having them talk and to see why they're here.
And then afterwards?
And then afterwards is hopefully they'll kind of do the same thing too and say, well, why are you here? And then you have to have what we call a little elevator pitch, or a little pitch where you write it on a napkin. And basically it's, I'm here. My name is so-and-so, and I'm here to attend for this particular reason. And why I'm here is because I'm a real estate investor, and I'm looking for other people who may be interested in networking in the Indianapolis area. You always want to talk about what you do, but you also want to talk about what you do, not only that, how you can help them, but they can help you. And I think what the problem is, when people try to network, it's always about how can you help me rather than how can I help you? And yeah, that's usually where the problem starts on in there. So basically, I was told that I was a really good networker. And really what it is I just use my listening skills. And then I see why are they here? And I ask them so what brought you here? Is there anything in particular that you're looking for or you hope to get out of this? And then what I do is I point on that, and perhaps maybe I provide that. Maybe they say, in my case, yeah, I'm looking for someone to mentor me in my business. Hey, I'm a business coach. That's great. Or maybe they'd say, I'm actually interested in maybe getting some mentoring in real estate, which is not my forte, but I know Vikram, I know Peter, I know people, and say, hey, you should maybe consider doing this. And then I make the introduction, because what Vikram says, Vikram Raya, who is the main dude at Limitless MD, it says, in our phone, we know 100 other doctors. And among them, we also know probably 100 non-doctors as well. And so once you kind of build your Rolodex, so to speak, who to go to or who the right people to go to. Because at the end, we're just finding what people helped me in my business, and I'm willing to share that with others and to help them get along in their journey as well.
Yeah. So in summary, it sounds like go in with the mindset to really serve, going intentional, knowing your why. Maybe I will find three potential co-investors or partners on a deal, or maybe I will go find three investors that can be added to my list if you're trying to do a syndication. Or I will find three agents, then I'm going to have their contact, you know, for the deal funnel. But going in with like an intention and introducing yourself, having a very quick elevator pitch, but also listening to them very carefully and figure out their needs. And you actually become the super networker by meeting their needs. You perhaps could have a goal of doing three introductions for people that will help address what they need. That's what it sounds like. Is that correct? That's a correct summary?
100%. I'll give you an example. People ask, they know I work with Peter Kim. I've known him for a long time. And the reason that, I guess I've known him so long is I attended his first meetup for Passive Income MD, several years ago, although it's probably like 5 or 6 years ago, but with COVID, everything is off and in there. He sent me recently a picture. It was like myself, a few others, and Pranay Breek, he works with the Ascent Capital. And I think there was like 9 people, there. And really what I was there is because I was just more curious that there were other physicians who were talking about passive income. I've been doing this for quite some time, and not a lot of physicians were talking about passive income. We just usually talk about active income or talk about our W-2, our career. So having a physician talk about different aspects of building income, and at the time, I really wasn't interested in real estate at the time. I just wanted to meet him and meet other, not necessarily him, but other people just kind of talking about it. Because like I said, it can be very lonely. And it's just kind of cool having other doctors talk about those kinds of things. And I'm sure you've benefited as well by going to conferences where we have physicians kind of talk about things that aren't related to our board exams or our declining reimbursements and different things like that. It's good to talk about other subjects as well.
Yeah, we talk about the positive, like where we want to go, instead of talking, just complaining about the negative. And then I feel like I get inspired by other people knowing who's 5-10 years ahead of me. And I know where they started and I know I can get there just because, they have done it. And also regarding, since you're talking about PMD and other types of conferences, I am wondering, would the strategies differ, be different? Let's say if it is like a conference like a Limitless PMD or, versus like a UPW, would the strategies of going in there to network be different for you?
Yeah. It really is. And what you just showed there are really two different conferences, but maybe the same type of people to go to. I haven't been to UPW per se, but I've seen Tony Robbins speak. I've been a big fan of his. I read, his books when I was in medical school, and I probably should have been reading Principles of Internal Medicine. I was reading his books. And so, a lot of people go there with a specific reason. Perhaps there's something that they feel is not right in their lives, for lack of a better term, broken. And they're looking, and they maybe have seen Tony Robbins on a YouTube video or on his Netflix special, or perhaps, they see him and he worked with President Clinton and all these different things and sports figures and say, hey, maybe I need more personal development in my life. So they're going there. Yes, they can network, but they're also getting Tony, right? And everything that Tony brings, which is can be a lot of, right? So that's a specific thing. Maybe you're looking to network, maybe you're not. And some people, as some people kind of kept them themselves, and some people's like, I want to experience it. Others, like the examples that were given, is maybe they want to start their journey into real estate, want to be surrounded by like-minded physicians, and they choose a physician-only event because they feel, as we do, as human beings, we're tribal. And so we like to be around people who are like-minded, share the same experiences, and that's might be where they start. Or others may do like a general real estate event. Some maybe do like a local real estate event. So really, everything is kind of different. I think the benefit of all is just to be around other people, meeting really cool people, and it just makes life a lot more interesting rather than sitting at home, which we did for 2+ years, right, recently, and to get out.
Yeah. Finding your tribe is essentially like a motivation for you and people to cheer you on instead of bring you down. And some of the common questions I also get from my clients is, well, there's two different scenarios. maybe want somebody who's a physician who wants to become a coach, like where would they even go about to begin networking to let people know about their services to so that their future clients know about them? It's like perhaps a form of networking, either at the conferences or cold reach outs, warm reach outs, et cetera. Number two scenario, if you wouldn't mind touching on very commonly, is somebody wants to start their syndication, how to even begin building an investor list other than, you know, we talked about going to those local real estate meetups, but anything that you could tell us for those two scenarios just based on the physicians that you have coached?
Yeah, well, actually, you can combine those two scenarios if you want to kind of like break it down at the end. It's just like, what can I do to grow and scale my business, whether it's a coaching business or perhaps at the start of a syndication business? The first place you got to start is my potential audience, are my prospects going to be in that room? Are they going to be at that conference? So if you're going to, let's say, you're a women physician, and let's say you're going to focus on relationship coaching for physicians for women, you're probably they're not going to get a great benefit if you're going to be at the YMCA or, you know, or some organization. So like, where are they at? You know, so you want to go and say, well, maybe I need to go to conferences where women physicians go to, you know, so there are conferences like, I believe it's called Braveheart, different organizations that focus on women. There are physician coaching conferences. So that's where I would start, is like, when you identify it, will my potential audience be there? I mean, that's probably where the first part to start with. So the same thing that goes with syndication. If you're going to start a syndication, you want to focus on, well, and you're going to focus on physicians, maybe I should be where potentially physician investors should be, and that's where you're going to go. It's similar to, like, you know, why they have sponsors. It's like, why do sponsors have certain events? They're going to focus on, like, where is their potential audience going to be at? And so their audience, if your business is similar to what a sponsor's business is going to be in, you want to find out and identify those sponsors and find out, like, where they're going. And that's the first place to start.
And then, so once you get there, though, how do you just use the same method as a super networker? Or, you know, you have your, like, say, I'm a coach. Like, how do you even approach somebody to tell them that you're a coach to find potential clients? Or it's more like you listen to them for their needs. And if you can assess that they need you, then you start talking about it. But you wouldn't push it on to them unless you know that they need it.
Yeah, I just listen to them. I listen to them because I don't want to be like somebody to, and for lack of a better example, I think of like a drug rep coming into my practice where she's trying to get in there or he's trying to get in there and just talk everything that she rehearsed that morning about this drug or this product. She wants to get 5 minutes with that doctor and she is just like, da 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 da, give me study after study. I'm barely listening. I'm in between patients. That's not a pleasant experience for me. So if somebody is telling me that they're a coach and telling me all there is, they don't even know anything about me. Like, why would I be even interested? You don't know what problems I might be having. So that's why I'm always saying it's like, and I see this with coaches where they come in and they're just like, you know, someone at a party or where they're just coming in and then they're coming in and you're in your group and they're just dominating conversation. And then suddenly that little party kind of disperses because they don't want to be around that person. Better way is to listen to people, like listen to why they're here, listen to like what's going on in their business or, you know, how's business, what's the, you don't want to, they're not going to tell you at first glance, like, what are your three major problems that are affecting your life right now, right? No, they're going to be like, you can start easy and just say, hey, why are you here? You know, how's that going? You know, how are you doing? You know, is there a way that you think you could be more efficient in your practice? You know, things like that. And that's where you can introduce some of the conversation. And then with that, you need to be ready to exchange information. And now, you know, before I used to be with business cards and everything like that, and that still works to some extent. But for me, I lose cards and I put them in my backpack and, you know, I lose them on flights and different things like that. Right now, it's just sweet. I'm using texting. There are certain applications you can use where you can have a QR code that sends them the information. Very, very simple. But I see where people, they connect and then they're like, well, 2 weeks later, who was that that blonde guy that I was talking to and what was his name? And then, you know, they lose it. So an important part, at least if you're not is making sure you're getting the right information. And then when you got that information, is to make a note for yourself, is like, hey, this is Barry from New York City thinking about starting a weight loss practice, was interested in follow-up. Just a note for yourself. Because if you're a great networker, you might get 20, 30, 40 people. My brain isn't good at retaining information right now. I don't recognize faces as much. And just having a little note for themselves. I mean, even something like very simple, like, you know, hey, Barry's, you know, wife went to Stanford University. And then when you guys connect, something as simple as that is going to even make that connection even bigger. And I think that's something that I don't see often, because what it does is you're really kind of connecting. And if you connect them in, on other levels, just besides, hey, you could potentially be a prospect or a client for me, connect them in a more of a human nature on things that they're interested, whether it be sports or hobbies or whatever, it's going to make that connection even stronger next time you follow up with them.
Yeah, I completely agree. So it sounds like, you know, no matter if it's real estate, you're looking for investors, or, you know, you're looking for potential clients or maybe even potential patients. If you have a practice like an aesthetic practice or, you know, a plastic practice, where I know some of them depend a lot on reviews and Google reviews and client reviews, but hear their needs first. Don't just go in there to try to sell. Hear their needs first and provide value. Like if you can help them by little tips, depending on your field and what you do, you can share your experiences. Like, you know, perhaps I'm thinking like in real estate, if somebody's having issues with real estate or how to get started, maybe like that's when you can actually share your journey from when you started to where you are now. Then people will start becoming more curious about you and then start asking you questions about what you do. Is that kind of correct, what you're saying?
Yeah, just like it's in, as in dating, right? You don't want to marry them. And I see people try to marry them at the conference, right? Where it just start off with just like sending some curious information. But, and the other thing too is, you know, we had a call like this where we were helping one of the coaches, and he said he got a lot of great leads. He said he had 80 plus leads from the conference he went to. But when he actually came back, he really didn't have 80 leads. He had 80 connections. But when he wanted to follow up, they didn't really know what he did or what he could do to help them. And so maybe you're not to that point where you're going to explain everything that you do on in there. But if it's like just having a connection, you know, just kind of like, hey, you know, I'd love to continue the conversation further. If they're local, great. Maybe get a cup of coffee. But hey, we're just like, just kind of like follow up on what we're kind of talking about, whatever that is. I don't know, just a friend level to say, hey, you know, it was just really cool. And just want to know what you thought of the conference. And maybe we can share some insights that I learned, and I always like to kind of pick my brain, because what you learned, that can be in a connection right there. And you're not exactly the typical selling your stuff, selling your products and services, but just connecting with them on a human level, it's always worked well for me.
Yeah, I think one thing that worked well for me was, you know, I have my own contact card and I would just share it via text to the other person, and that would save right away, you know, anything about that person, like you said. I also, what I do is if I feel like I have resources, like for example, I have a list of what the VA does for me, my virtual assistant does for me in terms of social media, business, personal. And a lot of times if I find that it could be useful for the person, you know, I just share it to them. And then that's it, through text, that link. And so you're actually providing value and services already without asking for anything back. And it's a great way to follow up too, just to see like, hey, have you had a chance to review this? Where are you in your assistant search process? Do you have any questions? Because there's tests that you give, there's interview process. How do you know you have the right qualities? Like things, all those things that come along with hiring a virtual assistant. So I found that if I give a resource that could help them first, it's a great way to follow up back to them.
Yeah, I love that. I love that too. Just helping them where they're at. And kind of one of my pet peeves is too, and I don't want to get off on a tangent, is like when I talk to someone and then suddenly I'm on their email list and then they're sending me barrages of emails that are like, I didn't really ask for this. And then I probably unsubscribe to it, is because it's just like it was dating. I mean, again, I'm using them. They're going too fast for me. I say, hey, slow down, buddy. We're just kind of getting started and you're already, you know, proposing on in there. So if you do that, please stop it, unless you're going to ask them, hey, I'm going to you know, I've got a newsletter that I think would be helpful, would be help, you know, ask them permission to do that before you do that. But I'm starting to see that a little bit more often than I would like. So just be smart, treat people as how the way you would want to be treated.
Yeah, I think the one recent thing I started doing for those resources, there is a form that they would fill out, you know, to get the resources automatically mailed to them. And there is a question that asks for their permission. It's like opting in, like, would you like to hear more about updates or anything on productivity? And or would you like to have a coaching discovery call? So they opt in and it's okay for you to contact them then after if they do opt in. So I know we talked about quite a bit here and I do want to do a summary. What would you say would be like a top three takeaway from what we discussed and then one action that people can take right after this?
So that's good. So number one is choose conferences wisely. Choose what, you know, are you there to learn? Are you there to network? Find out what that purpose is. Two, establishing what that purpose is and then making a concerted plan to find out like what you want to actually do. And three is just treat people on a human level. Connect with them. You don't have to marry them at the conference. Simply just connect, just having some type of connection with them and then follow up later and see where that relationship progresses. One action item is to, you know, as we're recording this, it's at the end of the year, is to identify three conferences in the next year that will help you get closer to your goals.
Nice. Okay. So whether that's real estate, you can look at, or if you're a physician in real estate or entrepreneurship, you can look into a passive income MD conference. There's also any other examples for physician focused entrepreneurship conferences they can go to.
One of my big areas that I think all physicians need to learn is negotiation skills, whether it's in your own career, whether it's negotiating to get a better price on your real estate investment, whether it's negotiating with your kids and with your spouses. We can all benefit from negotiation. So they're negotiation type conferences. But whatever you want to learn, to improve your life, whether it be learning how to connect with others, going to relationship conferences to improve the love languages of your significant other, whether it's learning a new hobby or whether just becoming more productive or more efficient. There's conferences everywhere. Find out whether it could be five people, it could be 5,000 people. It doesn't really matter to me. Anything you can do to get you outside of the house, to meet other people, and just get more out of life.
Awesome. And I would say take a look at the five goals that you would have set for yourself for the year, and then pick, yes, the three conferences that at least one conference will move the needle on maybe multiple of those five goals at the same time, perhaps. Then that's the one that you would focus on. And so as a business coach and also a coach for Limitless MD, I'm wondering if people want to learn more about you, to learn more about, to basically cut their time, right? You know, you hire coaches, that's the only way you buy back time. So if they want to get to know you, figure out if you might be a good fit, that you can help them kind of scale their business, how can they get into contact with you?
Best way is our main website is bootstrapmd.com. I've done coaching for physicians for several years. My main emphasis is helping physicians build a cash-based medical practices, but I can also steer you into the right direction. That's also the home of my podcast, where I was honored to have you on as a guest recently, going on to almost 250 now episodes coming in a few weeks. So there's like lots of information. We discuss about networking, entrepreneurship, career. Heck, we talk about relationships, all those kind of things. Anything that physicians can do to with becoming their own boss and talking about as well as investing as well in multiple streams of income. Bootstrapmd.com is probably the best place to be. And then, of course, you can also go to Limitless MD if you're interested in our, we have different programs led by my good friend Vikram Raya. Whether in real estate is one of his issues, but we also talk about entrepreneurship as well. And we have masterminds and programs for those who are looking to take the next step.
All right. So go to bootstrapmd.com and then go check out the podcast as well or limitlessmd.com. Again, thank you so much for your time today. I hope the audience, I know you guys got a bunch out of it. We talked about a lot, just set one intention perhaps one action after this, and then just go slow, and you will be able to become a super networker. So remember that everything we need is within us now. Thank you.
Disclaimer, this content is for general information purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine. No doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of this information linked to this content is at the user's own risk. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical conditions they may have and should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions. The views are personal views only and do not represent any university or government institution.